Good morning. It's certainly good to see everyone this morning. We trust that we've all come out to gather ourselves together to study God's Word and to worship Him. This morning we're going to talk about He who hath an ear, if I can spell it. And what we're going to find is many times people hear the things we're saying, and especially hear the things that God says, but they don't always listen or pay attention to them. And of course, we know this is very important. It's vital for us to hear and to listen and to comprehend the things that are taught, especially concerning the Word of God, because we know that this is going to have an effect on where we spend our eternal life. And we realize in the days of the past, especially in the days in which the Scriptures were written, it was usually by word of mouth that these things were passed along. Certainly there was rather crude forms of writing, but the printing press hadn't been invented yet. So a lot of this information, the only way it was passed around was by word of mouth, and people had to speak it, and other people had to hear it and understand it. And we're going to talk about hearing for a short time today, and the importance that the ears have. The reason why God gave them to us, certainly that we don't have to have them in order to be a child of God, but it does help, and we want to understand and realize why He did this and what He did, and it's going to help us to be better Christians if we will heed the things that the Scriptures tell us concerning our ears and hearing. Our text this morning comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm number 78, verses 1 through 8. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord, and His strength, and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might see their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Before we continue this morning, we want to go to God in a word of prayer, remembering all the things that God has blessed us with in the past week, and to make our wants and petitions known of Him for the coming week. Won't each of you now humble yourselves in some manner while Brother Joshua leads us in a word of prayer. As we saw in our text, the psalmist wrote about passing on the word of God from generation to generation. And as we know today, we have the Scriptures, we have it all written down for us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and we go to that now to find the truth. We think about the days in which the Scriptures were written. We know certainly people weren't educated the way they are now, and there's still a few areas in the world that are like that, but for by and large, the world, for the most part, is educated at least on a level where people can read and write, and they can pick up a Bible and read it, and we know that that's the way that God now communicates with people. We see especially in the Old Testament where from time to time God chose certain prophets to speak to, and He would speak to them and they would take His words to the people. And we certainly see people in the world today who claim that God or Jesus are telling them to do things, but we know that that's no longer the way that God operates. He gave His words again through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the writers of the New Testament. They wrote those words down, and that's what we have today. We can't wait around for a little voice in our head to tell us what to do. We have to study the Scriptures and realize that is the only way that we're going to find out what the pathway to eternal life is and how to achieve it and how to live our lives in a way that's pleasing to God. And it's certainly important for us to remember that, because there's many people in the world today who will try to deceive people into thinking that God told them to do this or that, and a lot of these people are very charismatic. They have good personalities, and they have a way of talking and making people believe them, and it's very unfortunate, but what happens is these people don't pick up the Scriptures and read them like everyone should. We should never take anybody else's word for what God would have us to do. We should pick up the Bible and make sure it's so. And that even goes for coming here and worshiping on Lord's Day. Certainly we should get our Bibles out and read and make sure the things that we're being taught are the truth. Certainly from time to time, those of us who get up and speak do the best we possibly can, but sometimes we may say something that would cause you to think differently than what's right, and we certainly need to study. That's why the Scriptures tell us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, because it's each and every one of our own responsibilities in the end. When we stand before Jesus on the day of judgment, we're going to be judged by how we lived, and we're not going to be able to blame our faults or our shortcomings on anybody but ourselves. And it's important for us to be reminded of that and to remember that, and not only to hear it, but to listen. And that's one of the most, if anybody gets anything out of what I'm trying to say today, I hope it's that not only are we to hear, but we are to listen, because the two are different. Certainly there are people that hear about God, hear about the things that Jesus did for them, but they don't listen to it. They don't care enough about it to try to find out more about it. And they turn a deaf ear, so to speak, to it. And those are the ones who are going to be eternally lost. I'd like now to go to the book of Exodus. We're going to read from chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master hath given him a wife, and she hath borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. This scripture concerns the Jews in the Old Testament. Back then, if someone fell into debt, that you couldn't go down to the bank and borrow money. A lot of people didn't have any kind of property or assets with which to borrow money, or no such thing as credit cards like we have today. And often people found themselves in a situation where they'd have to sell themselves into slavery and serve a master for a number of years in order to settle the debts that they had. And the law that's being laid down here for the Jews is that if someone were to buy another Jew as a servant, they were to serve for 6 years, and at the seventh year they were to set him free. And you can read in other places in both Exodus and Deuteronomy, where it tells them not only were they to set them free, but they were to give them goods and livestock and things of this nature in a repayment for their service. However, sometimes people felt comfortable in the position of being a servant, and if they decided to stay with that master, there was a public ceremony. That's what it means by being in the door, where the slave's ear was pierced, and this was a sign that they had. They were heeding to that master, and that they would listen to that master for the rest of their time here upon the earth. And this was a sign that they bore in their ear that showed that they had made this commitment. We can also read about this in Deuteronomy 15 and 17. Then thou shalt take an awl and thrust it through his ear under the door, and he shall be thy servant forever, and also unto thy maidservant thou shalt do likewise. And again, this was giving up of their freedom, so to speak, when they had this mark upon them. There were other cultures in those days who used piercing. Sometimes they used tattooing or even branding, like we know that the cowboys in the Old West used to brand cattle. Some people used to brand their slaves. And again, this was a mark of servitude. It was a mark of giving up of one's freedom in a service to another. And metaphorically, we do this today when we decide to become a Christian. We realize when we submit to baptism that we're no longer our own person. We've subjected ourselves to becoming a child of God and all that that implies. And we've given up certain freedoms. We can't just go out and do the things the people in the world do. Those are things that God has forbidden for us to do. He's declared them as sin, and they're things that we need to avoid. And so, in turn, what we're doing is we're giving up a little bit of freedom here upon the earth for an everlasting life of freedom from all the hardships and trials and tribulations that we face here upon the earth, because we know that if we are able to achieve a home in heaven, that all the things that confound and conflict upon us here upon the earth will be taken away. We'll be in a place of bliss and happiness forever with God. And when we think about it, we wonder why anybody's not willing to make that trade, because it's certainly something that is worthwhile. And of course, especially when we consider the alternative, because if we decide to do whatever we want here upon this life, we're going to pay for it for all eternity in a realm of torment. So it's certainly something for us to think about and to realize and to accept the fact that that God is the only one who can offer that promise to us. It's only through Jesus that we have a chance of going to heaven. And if we hear that and we believe it and listen to it, then we realize that there's only one course of action that we can take in order to achieve that. We'd like now to go to Leviticus chapter 8. We'll begin reading in verse 22. And he brought the other ram, the ram of consecration, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram. And he slew it, and Moses took of the blood of it, and put it upon the tip of Aaron's right ear, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And he bought Aaron's sons, and Moses put of the blood upon the tip of their right ear, and upon the thumbs of their right hands, and upon the great toes of their right feet. And Moses sprinkled the blood upon the altar round about. This is when Moses was consecrating Aaron and his sons to the office of priest. We know that Aaron was the first high priest of the Jewish nation, and this was a showing of, by putting the blood on his ear, was consecrating his ear to hear the things that God would have the people to do. The high priest became the one to whom God would communicate the things that he wanted the people to do. We know that it was the high priest was the only one that was allowed to go into the holiest of holies once a year on the Day of Atonement to be in the presence of God. And by consecrating their ears, show that they were to listen to the things that God would have them to do. I'd like now to read from Isaiah chapter 50, beginning with verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. In this scripture we read that the prophet Isaiah is thankful to God, that God has opened his ears, and not only to the words that God has spoken to him, but to the understanding as well. And again, this is something that's very important for us to know as we communicate with other people. You can talk to somebody and they'll listen, they'll hear you, but they don't always listen to you. And any of us that are parents, I know this feeling very well. Sometimes we tell our children things and they act like they're listening, but they don't always, they act like they hear us, but they don't always listen to what we have to say. And it can be very frustrating, and certainly we can begin to understand the frustration that God has with man, because he looks upon us the same way. He looks upon us as children, and when he tells us to do things that we shouldn't, and we do them anyway, we can begin to understand why he gets so frustrated with us. And certainly we need to realize as we grow older, and I'm sure we all being children at one time, those of us that are adults can understand and relate to when we were in the same situation, when our parents would tell us something and we didn't always want to listen to what it was that they had to say. But most of the time, our parents are telling us the right thing to do, and certainly always God is telling us the right thing to do, and we certainly should heed the things that he has to say to us, and not only hear them, but to listen to them, because those who turn a deaf ear to the things that God wants us to do are going to suffer for them eventually, as we mentioned before. Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 9. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, for him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. This passage of Scripture comes in between the time when Jesus told the parable of the sower and the good seed, and when he actually explained what the parable meant to the apostles and the disciples that were there with him. In this passage, Jesus refers to the book of Isaiah, which if you go back and look in a concordance, you'll see that Isaiah is full of the term hearing and talking about hearing the things that God has to say. And Jesus alludes to the prophecy that Isaiah made here concerning the Jews. When Jesus came, he was the Messiah that was promised to them. As he went about and taught, they rejected him because he wasn't saying what they wanted to hear. And of course, as we try to relate to people in the world today, we see the same thing. People, especially in the day in which we live now, seem more neglectful as ever to hear what God would have them to do, or to have anybody even suggest to them that the way that they're living or the things that they're doing are contrary to the Word of God. We live in a generation that's very self-satisfying, and one that doesn't want to be told. And in many ways, there's more adults that are like children than there are adults, it seems like, when you really analyze the situation, is people don't like to be told what to do. And many people get very defensive when you try to explain to them that the way that they're living is contrary to what God would have them to do, and they want to go about and do the things that they want. And we look throughout the Scriptures and throughout the books of history, the knowledge that we have of history, and we see that this has been a failing of man all the way back to the very beginning. You can go all the way back to Adam and Eve. God put them in the garden. He gave them one thing that he told them that they weren't supposed to do, and it didn't take the devil long to be able to tempt Eve into doing the one thing that God asked them not to. How easy would it be today if God only had one thing that he told us not to do, and yet you'd see people breaking that command all the time, because that just seems to be the nature of man. And it's very difficult. It was difficult for the people then to grasp the things that Jesus was teaching, because he wasn't saying what they wanted to hear. The Jews were looking for someone to come and liberate them from the Roman Empire. They too often wanted to be like everybody else around them. And again, this is a failing that we see today. And many people who try to be spiritual and try to be religious, and we're going to find out in a few minutes, we're going to see something about that. But too many times they try to be too much like the world, and we see many religious organizations today that are they're being more and more lax about the things that God wants in order to draw more people into their organizations. And certainly this is something that God hates, and something that we can't let ourselves fall into that same category. We have to remain strong and stand for the truth, because that's the only thing that's going to get us to heaven. We can't make up our own plan, as many people would have you believe, in order to please God. We have to do what he says. We have to read the Scriptures and act accordingly. The apostles, as we read here in Matthew, were somewhat confused when they asked Jesus, why do you speak to them in parables? Because Jesus was trying to get them to listen. They would come, multitudes would come and hear the things that he had to say, and he's trying to get them to listen and to think about what it was that he was saying. He was making very common and practical illustrations to them to help them to understand the kingdom of God and that it wasn't going to be based on physical things, but on spiritual things. If you remember the passage in John, I believe it's chapter 6, where Jesus told some of his followers that they would have to eat of his body and drink of his blood, and they were taking him literally, the things that he said, and many of them turned away and they didn't follow him anymore. And if you remember, Jesus asked Peter if he and the apostles were going to turn away as well, and Peter said, "Where can we go? Who can we go to?" They realized that Jesus was the Messiah. They saw through the miraculous things that he did that he had authority from God, and yet we realize as we read and study that they were confused about some of the things that were going on, because it wasn't until they received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost that all the things that Jesus said and did, they had a fuller understanding of it, and they became to realize the things that he taught. So even his followers sometimes were confused, because some of them, like the other people that heard Jesus, were looking for a different message than what he was bringing. And again, this is important for us to realize that we can't change the message in order to get more people to come. We have to keep teaching the truth, and those who accept it will come, and those who don't will reject it and go look for somebody else who's preaching and teaching what they want to hear. But again, come the day of judgment, they're going to have to stand for that decision, and the outcome, they'll have to accept whatever outcome comes from it. I'd like now to read from Revelations chapter 2, beginning with verse 7. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These things hath the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." As we're going to read some more of this passage from the book of Revelations, we see where Jesus is addressing different churches, and there's different circumstances going on in each one of them. And he's trying to tell them the things that they need to endure. He says some of them are going to suffer. Some of us certainly don't have, at this point anyway, it doesn't seem like we'd have to suffer some of the things that the early Christians did. Some of them were beaten. They were taken to prison. They were crucified or killed in other ways for believing in Jesus and for teaching his kingdom. And we don't live under any threat of that today. But yet it could happen, or we could find ourselves sometime, or there's other brothers who travel to different parts of the world to try to teach, who may then find themselves in a situation where their life is threatened for the things that they believe. But Jesus said, if we remain faithful unto the end, we're going to receive a crown of life. We're going to have access to the tree of life in the midst of the paradise of God, and all these things are promised to us if we live and do the things that he have us to do, and hear and listen to the words that he has spoken. I will continue reading with verse 11. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, These things hath he which hath a sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth." Here we see Jesus first commends a church for remaining strong in the light of paganism. What he's talking about here is a congregation that's in a place where very evil and wicked things are going on all around them, and yet they're trying to remain strong. But he says he has a few things against them because some of the people there are being led back into the life that they lived before they were converted to Christianity. And he's warning against this as he warned, as we should look at to this as a warning today, again, that we're not drawn back into the world, that we can remain apart from the world, even though we have to live in the world, that we need to remain outside of it and remain good examples to others and to not fall back into the things that are contrary to the Word of God and are looked upon as sin and things that will prevent us from going to heaven. We'll continue reading verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And unto the angel of the church in Tarsus write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works in charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and to the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Tyrrhesia, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him I will give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So as Jesus addresses each one of these congregations, we see where there are many good things going on there. There's many things that he's proud of the things they're doing, and yet in each one there was something that he had against them. And certainly today we wouldn't want Jesus to come before us and say the same thing about us. We want to do the best that we possibly can to encourage one another, to help one another to grow as Christians, and to be good examples to others that we might influence them to become Christians as well. And this is the whole duty that we have as Christians, is to live a Christian life and to influence as many people as we can to do the same. Again, in the book of Revelations in chapter 13, verse 9, Jesus says, If any man hath an ear, let him hear. We certainly realize that the things that are being taught are concern our eternal soul, the place where we will spend eternity. And we not only need to hear, but we need to listen and understand and pay attention to the things that the Bible teaches us about listening, and realize that it's going to behoove us to listen and to learn as much as we possibly can. Jeremiah 6, verse 10. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Here the prophet Jeremiah again talks about those who won't listen. In this case, he's talking about people whose ears are uncircumcised, they cannot hearken, and the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. And again, that's what we see in the world today when we confront people and we talk to people about the word of God. They don't want to be bothered with it. They want to go on living the way they want to live. And it seems like the media and entertainment and everything else just continues to promote that kind of a lifestyle and that kind of a way of thinking. And of course, as Christians, we need to stand for the truth. And again, this is something that's hard to get people to accept. Back in the day when Jesus was here upon the earth, we look at the stories of Jesus as he went about preaching and teaching. He went into areas that were probably worse than the worst poverty areas that we have in this country. There were people who didn't have homes. They were sick. There was no way to cure them of the diseases that they had. Many of them had to beg for food. And we constantly see Jesus interacting with these people. And these were people who were ready to accept and hear the things that Jesus said because it gave them some kind of hope of something better than what they had. And that becomes a harder message to spread today because, especially in this country, people seem to have it so good. There's certainly people that live in poverty, that people that don't have some of the things that we take for granted. But yet, by and large, anybody that lives in this country has it pretty good compared to the rest of the world and certainly any other time in history. And it's harder to convince people that there's something better than what they already have. You run into people who have nice paying jobs, they have all the food they want, they can eat whatever kind of food they want, they can travel, they have big fancy cars and houses and all kinds of TVs and entertainment and all this stuff, and it becomes harder and harder to convince them that there's something better than all that. And we realize that. We realize that serving God in a home in heaven is going to be much more profitable for us and something that we can enjoy forever as opposed to enjoying something for a short time here upon the earth and then, as we said before, paying for it for all eternity. It doesn't even make sense that that's any kind of a trade-off, but yet you can't convince people of that. But that doesn't give us an excuse to give up. We have to keep doing the best that we possibly can. Not only to live that life ourselves and make sure that we're keeping on the straight and narrow path, but to influence others to follow us as well. We certainly can feel the prophet's frustration, as Jeremiah wrote, as we continue to seek to spread the gospel, but we have to continue to fight. We have to fight the good fight of faith, and we know that's not a physical battle. But it's a spiritual battle, and it's one where we have to stand for the truth, regardless of what goes on around us or how much we may be tempted to partake in the things that we're not supposed to. We have to continue that fight, and that's just the way we have to look at it. We have to look at it as a battle. We have to realize that anything worth having in this life or the life to come, is worth working for and fighting for. When we're baptized, that doesn't give us a free pass into heaven. That's just the beginning. When we become a Christian, we start down a road that, and we have no promises that road's going to be an easy one to walk. If anything, it may be harder because, especially if we're converted to Christianity from outside the church, if we weren't raised, there's going to be issues with family, issues with friends. Even if we're in the church, sometimes there's issues of people trying to pull us to and fro and to convince us that there's more important things to do on Sunday morning than to assemble and things of this nature. So it's a battle, it's a fight, and we have to look at it that way, and we have to realize that if we remain strong, that we're going to achieve the victory, and if we don't, if we give in, we're going to have to take the defeat because there's nothing we can do to change the outcome once our life is over. I'd like to conclude this morning by reading a few words from one of my favorite songs from the songbook that we have here, number 78, Hark the Gentle Voice. Kind of gives the idea that we're trying to bring forward of not only hearing the things that God says to us, but listening to them and harking to them. Hark the gentle voice of Jesus falleth, tenderly upon your ear, sweet as cry of love and pity calleth, turn and listen, stay and hear. And I think this is an important message for us today, not only to hear the things that God would have us to do, but certainly to listen to them, to heed their warnings, to accept their instruction, and to live accordingly. That brings us to the conclusion of this lesson. As always, we offer the services of the church to those who would. Won't you come while we stand and sing?